We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I am rejoined by my co-host, Drew Johnson. You can find both of us on Twitter, myself at Dalton_Trigg. You can find DJ at CoachDrew33. Lots to talk about today because it's been about a week since we've checked in with y'all. And, you know, the Mavs, they started out on this tough four-game road trip. It didn't start off well because they went to Indiana to play the Pacers, who have the best offense in the league. They have Rick Carlisle, who, you know, it's no surprise that they're the top offense in the league when he's the coach because, you know, he's a wizard. He can draw up anything. If you just give Rick Carlisle five serviceable players, he's going to find a way to have a top five offense. So, Mavs got completely outclassed in Indiana. Then they went to Cleveland two nights later, and they played the Cavs really well. You know, the Cavs have won 24. I mean, they've won 20 out of their last 24 games. Mm-hmm. They've been on a tear. They're the number two team in the East, a very good defensive team. And the Mavs played them really well for, you know, 47 minutes and 58 seconds.
Yep.
And then, you know, Luke, they were down one with a few seconds left. Luka passed the ball to PJ Washington, who finished at the rim over. It was either Jared Allen or Evan Mobley. Either way, it was a great finish by PJ. And there were 2.6 seconds left, and the Cavs didn't have any timeouts. So you're thinking, okay, well, you know, just don't have anything weird happen, and you're going to get the win. Max Strus hits a 59-footer. Just a prayer answered to give the Cavs the win. So that was deflating. He had 15 points in the fourth quarter, didn't miss a shot. Just unreal shot making from, I mean, you can't do anything except tip your hat to somebody who does that. And then what's funny is this next game the Cavs played against the Chicago Bulls that went into double overtime, I think. Strus started out, I don't know what he finished with, but he started out shooting like 1 of 6. And I'm like, of course, you know, yeah. of course of course that happened. So that was deflating. We had some things to say, you know, about how Tim Hardaway Jr. was supposed to be guarding Strus on those attempts before that happened. And then maybe it wouldn't have even gotten to that point. But, you know, it is what it is. And then finally, the Mavs go to Toronto for the third game of this four-game road trip. Toronto, not as good as they used to be since they traded, OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam, but they're still a very well-coached team. They're very pesky defensively. They have an influx of talent from the New York Knicks and, you know, Quickly and RJ Barrett. And obviously Jakob Poeltl is always a handful down low. He's your typical Spurs type player, you know. But the Mavs, they went in there after a shaky first half on defense. They clamped down in the second half and ended up getting a 136 to 125 win in Toronto. Luka had a 30-point triple-double on his 25th birthday, 14 assists. He was dishing, and he would have had even more assists if Derrick Jones Jr. hit some of those wide-open threes that he had. Kyrie was great too. Had 29 points. Went on. He was putting on a clinic in that fourth quarter. Every time the Raptors tried to make a move to get back in the game, Kyrie was like, "Nope, nope, you're staying down." And also, PJ Washington had a very good breakout game offensively. 23 points, shot 6 of 11 overall, had 3 blocks in this game, along with the 6 rebounds. So PJ Washington was great. Derek Lively, 5 blocks in this game, even though he only had 4 rebounds. He had 5 blocks, 9 points, perfect from the field. Daniel Gafford was good. All the pieces that you needed to be good in this game, they were good. And even Tim Hardaway Jr., he was hitting some shots, which obviously changes things. Dante Exum was back after missing 13 games, and he's another ball handler. Another ball handler, another defender, you know, gives you another option if Tim Hardaway Jr. isn't hitting. So a lot of good things to come or that came from that Raptors game. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, number one, we got a really key piece back from the injury list in Dante Exum. I don't think people understand just how big of a role he actually plays. He can handle the ball. He's a fantastic defender. His jump shot has improved tremendously. The guy helps us out. Also, you know, when those three pieces are clicking, whenever you got Luka, Kyrie, and PJ all clicking, we're going to be very hard to stop. The key is just achieving consistency in that regard. And whenever Tim Hardaway Jr. is hitting shots, his worth goes up tremendously as far as being out there on the floor. But whenever he's not, he can be a kind of a liability defensively, as we saw in that Cavaliers game. But I just want to say something about that Cavaliers game. You know, as I don't know who was making the call down the line at the end of that game, but if you are up 1 to 2 points and they have to go the length of the floor to score, you always apply full court pressure, always, especially on the guy who has hit 5 straight threes in the fourth quarter. Always at least guard that guy.
Yeah.
Because these players, they're way too good to give them any open looks from anywhere, especially a shooter like Strus. Especially a shooter. So that's just, I don't know who was making the call down the stretch there, but something different had to be done.
Yeah, it was crazy because, I mean, you could see it coming because Strus took the ball out of bounds and you knew what was coming. Mm-hmm. He was going to inbound it, sprint straight up the court, have it handed back to him, and then he was going to launch it. They should have pressed, you know, they should have had full court pressure, like you said. And then as soon as he passed the ball, they should have just doubled. You know, let Evan Mobley shoot the half court shot.
Yep. Well, they should have just denied him outright. Like, they're like, yeah, you can double and try and trap him. But honestly, if we would have denied him from the get go, just denied that initial pass, it would have flustered the ball handler and they would have ran out of time.
Yeah.
So I don't know whose job it was.
And still, worst case scenario, you know, Evan Mobley shooting the half court shot. And I'm almost guarantee. Now, I'm not going to fully guarantee because the Mavs tend to have bad luck in these situations. Yeah. But, you know, I'm pretty sure he misses that shot. So, you know.
But you can't let the guy who is on fire shoot from anywhere. Because, as I said earlier, people in this league are way too good. Specifically the people who are known for shooting the ball. And that's Strus's MO. So.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, look, Luka got a hand. He actually contested that shot, too. You know, as well as he could have without blocking it. And it's just one of those things. The guy was hot. He got a good running look at it. And, you know, it is what it is. It was a 59-foot shot. It's the second longest game winner in NBA history in the three-point era. So, just crazy. And then what's funny is out of the top 5 longest game winners, Julius Erving had one against the Mavs back in the day too. So the Mavs are the victims of 2 of the top 5 longest game winners in league history.
Sounds about right. I bet we didn't full court press then either.
But you have to hand it to him. I mean, on going from that, you know, you know PJ Washington feels like he got his game winner. The Mavs beat the number 2 seed in the East, and then you lose in that fashion. And then you have to immediately get on a plane fly to Toronto and take on a scrappy Toronto team on the second night of a back-to-back on the road, and then you come out and win that game. That shows a lot of mental fortitude for this Mavs team. You know, you have to have a really strong mindset to be able to turn the page that quickly and perform the way they did. They scored 136 points on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, they were rolling, man. They were rolling. The pieces were that they were doing what they're supposed to do. Again, if we can just achieve consistency.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're going to be very hard to deal with come playoff time.
I've been very, and I know you have too, but I've been super impressed with PJ Washington's defense. He is, I mean, I knew he had, you know, the capabilities to be a good defender with his length and, you know, his act, you know, he's got quick feet and everything, but I mean, I didn't realize just how good he was until he came over, and given, you know, where he came from, it probably overshadowed, you know, the Hornets' defensive issues as a team probably overshadowed how good PJ was individually. And now that he's in a system where he has more talent around him, and, you know, they have several serviceable bigs who can protect the rim, and Lively, Gafford, even Maxey has come on strong here lately. You know, all that put together, and you're seeing just how valuable PJ Washington could be. You know, when we first got him, you know, my first thought was this could be, you know, an Aaron Gordon type situation. You know, when the Nuggets got him, because, you know, Aaron Gordon, first 7 years of his career he spent with the Orlando Magic, he didn't win a bunch of games.
No.
Several lottery.
Really good comparison. That's a really good comparison.
Several lottery teams. And then he finally got to Denver, and he became a key piece for them, showing, you know, what PJ's showing us now in Dallas, and ended up being, you know, one of the more valuable pieces on a championship team. So, mm-hmm. obviously, the Mavs are hoping that that trend continues with how the PJ stuff is going. What I just love – I mean, the defense has been consistent every single game. But what I loved about in Toronto is, like, he was assertive on offense, and he was assertive early. You know, he scored 11 total points in that Cavs game. He had 13 points in the first quarter alone in that Raptors game. You know, he wasn't hesitant. He was letting it fly from three. The shot was falling. You know, he even if he misses a shot, he pursues the ball well. We talked about this, you know, a couple episodes back. He just has a nose for the ball. He can get offensive rebounds, and he's got a good floater game. So, I mean, I'm thrilled with PJ so far, and I think it's just going to get better and better the more time he spends with this team and the more comfortable he gets playing with Luka and Kyrie and knowing where he needs to be on the floor. And, you know, I'm really pleased with how they responded against the Raptors. And now, you know, there's going to be another big test to end this road trip. They play in Boston tomorrow night. And, you know, Boston, best team in the league, fantastic record. I think they're like, I'm not looking at the standings right now, but I think they're like 46-12 or something like that. It's
madness.
Something ridiculous. They've only lost like three games at home this entire season. So it's going to be tough. I mean, they played the Celtics pretty close before the trade deadline at American Airlines Center. They ended up losing 119-111. So, you know, we'll see how it goes this time around since they have a little bit more reinforcements and Dante Exum's back. But yeah, it's going to be a huge test for the Mavs. You know, all the national media seems to be coming around and giving the Mavs some props and saying that, you know, they are title contenders and all this stuff. Well, this is going to be one of the best chances they have, you know, to go out there and prove that against a very talented Celtics team. What are you looking for with this matchup specifically on Friday?
Well, it's going to be a battle of depth. Last game, I felt like, or the last game that we played them, I felt like, you know, before trade deadline, our depth really wasn't where it needed to be in order to compete with something like Boston, who is the deepest team in the league, in my opinion. They're very talented. Jason Tatum is very, very good. But, you know, I don't think he's better than Luka. So I think we have the best player in the league, or at least a top three player in the league, in my opinion. I think we've got a lot of really good talent surrounding him. I think that Kyrie Irving is going to be extremely motivated to absolutely thump the Celtics like he always is. So that helps, because a motivated Kyrie Irving is very scary. I think that the key, number one, is PJ Washington coming out and being assertive from the get-go. I think we are a much better team whenever he puts his mind to it that he is going to go out there and have a big game. He can't be passive. He has to come out and demand the ball immediately. And I think there's a real chance for him to have an advantage out there just because of the things that we've said. You know, he plays bigger than what he is. He's very skilled. He's very athletic. He makes an impact on the glass. I think that PJ is the key to us getting a victory in this game.
Well, the shot blocking altogether is what is so impressive. Like, I mean, yeah, it was great. He went out there, got 23 points, shot the ball well, had 6 rebounds, but the 3 blocks is what stood out to me. And then you look at your starting front court there with PJ and Lively combining for 8 blocks in one game.
Nobody's getting anything easy. Nobody's going to get it. Well, and the thing about that is you erase a lot of your high percentage shots. Now the Celtics are going to have to really rely on the outside looks, which they can hit. They're very good at this. Jason Tatum specifically is very good at shooting the ball from the outside, specifically that little side dribble thing that he likes to do.
Oh, yeah.
Very good at that shot individually. And it's
Luka's tried to take that. We saw that in what game was that where Luka hit? It was the last home game before they went on this road trip. But Luka, he had one of those. It was the Suns game. The first game out of the All-Star break. Yeah, he had one. He copied the Tatum step to the right. It was a step back, but it was more like a step to the side.
It's a side step. Right, it's a side step. And to be honest, that shot pisses me off just because I see kids like in lower levels try to do that exact same thing and clank it off the backboard. There's only a few people on earth that can do that shot effectively. But yeah, our length and athleticism and just shot blocking in general is going to be tremendous for us as far as, you know, keeping them out of the lane and keeping them from having high percentage looks.
I think Luka has a little bit of Larry Bird in him as far as like he sees stuff, or he just wants to challenge himself with like weird, like he sees other players doing stuff and he's probably like, oh, I can do that too. Yeah. So, you know, you'll see him practicing it a little bit and shoot around or whatever. You know, I've seen Luka do – I'd never seen him do it in a game until that Phoenix game, but you see him, like, messing around with it in shoot-arounds and stuff like that. So, he brought that out there. But it made me think of, like, that one time Larry Bird, he just decided he was going to shoot with his left hand only for an entire game, and he still had, like, 30-plus points or something.
Honestly, that's a really good comparison. Luka and Larry has always been a really good comparison. They're very similar personalities, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Their demeanors are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And last night when I think it was Bruce Brown that was guarding Luka, and Luka drove into the paint. He shook Bruce Brown off of him. And then so Jakob Poeltl came over and was going to guard him. And Luka did the little fake behind his back, and he had Poeltl looking both ways, and then he just leaned back and hit a little float shot in over him. And I was just thinking, man.
So off subject, but you know who Jakob Poeltl really reminds me of? What was the guy's name who tried to dunk on LeBron James in the NBA Finals and LeBron blocked the dunk? What was that guy's name?
Oh.
Tiago Splitter. That's who
it was. Yeah, Tiago Splitter.
That is who he reminds me so much of, is Tiago Splitter.
I got to say, though, Pirtle, he has a lot more offensive talent than Splitter did. But, you know, I can see where that comparison is coming.
It's like a modern Tiago Splitter.
Oh, yeah. Look, all I know is Pirtle, every time the Mavs tried to push their lead, like if it wasn't for Pirtle sitting in the paint and just pushing up those little easy float shots,
yep,
the Mavs would have been up by 20-plus, and Luka and Kyrie wouldn't have even had to play in the last, like, 6 minutes of that fourth quarter. So, you know, shout out to him. He's a talented player. Mavs have been linked to him in rumors before, but I don't think they need him anymore. So,
right, yeah.
But, look, I mean, the Mavs overall, I mean, they did have a couple of hiccups there. The Indiana one was, you know, that it was pretty bad. I mean, there's not much you can say about that. The Cavs one, that was, I mean,
that hurts.
It was lucky is what it is. And I mean, I get it. The Mavs have been on the other end of that too before. That's just how basketball is sometimes. Yeah. So, but and in the grand scheme of things, the Mavs have won 8 of their last 10 games, and they have a chance to really make a statement on Friday against the Celtics. You know, it's Luka versus Tatum, you know, two names that have been brought up in the top five of the MVP conversation this year. So you have that narrative going. Like you said, you have a motivated Kyrie going back to Boston. That's always interesting. I think the last time he was in Boston with the Nets, he ended up like flipping off the crowd or something. I think he's in a, I think Kyrie's in a better headspace now than when that happened. So, you know, we'll see.
Those Boston fans, though, it's hard to be in a good headspace with those people. They're brutal,
they're merciless. Pretty crazy about their self.
It's like the audience at the Roman Colosseum. Like, those people, they don't care.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, obviously, and then you have, you know, Porzingis playing the his former team and playing against Luka and the Mavs and everything. So it's going to be a fun one. And I think the Mavs have a chance to win. And, you know, we'll just see. We'll see how they come out. And, you know, even if they lose, I mean, everybody's expecting them to lose this game. But if they come out and win the game, then, you know, that's going to be something that, you know, we're going to be coming back on here and saying, well, oh, look, all these people calling the Mavs a title contender, looks like they're right. So,
yep. Yep.
So we'll see.
A great measuring stick. Great measuring stick. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's not a make or break game, but it's going to give us a really good idea of where we stand, at least right now.
Yeah. And then look, well, depending on how that game goes, you know, we might come back on here sometime over the weekend if we have a chance to and talk about that. If not, you know, we'll definitely come back on here the first of next week and recap everything. But guys, look, I appreciate y'all coming in and listening to us every week. Be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button on our YouTube channel and leave us comments on our YouTube video. If you have, you know, your own take on stuff, or if you have something else you want to talk about, go leave us a comment on there. It really helps us out. And we will see y'all next time. Y'all have a great one.
Thanks, guys.